The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash,
a roundtable of Cowboys insiders
dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys.
Now your host,
Newey Scruggs.
Emergency Media Mash. Let's ride.
Wow. Emergency.
Emergency! We have things to talk about. We have things to wrap up. And we do it with Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, the originator, none greater. And nobody tweets it better. Nobody gets the videos out quicker than our man, John Machota of The Athletic. I'm merely Newey Scruggs to help facilitate the conversation. There have been some coaching moves made by the football team. So, Nick, since you work for the team, I'll go ahead and let you start with the announcement of all these fine gentlemen that they've decided to, hey, thank you for your services, and we wish you well in your future endeavors.
You want me to just take one? Or
maybe just go down the list. Maybe go ahead.
I'll say the one to me that is the most surprising, and that's offensive line coach Joe Philbin. I thought the offensive line has showed not only growth, they showed flexibility, versatility, and then, you know, there's been some linemen over the last two or three years that have really, I didn't think Tyler Biotish and also Terrence Steele would be playing at that level, and Tyler Smith. So Joe Philbin not getting renewed, that's the one that sticks out the most for me.
Yeah, that would be interesting too, if everything goes to plan for the Cowboys and their offensive tackles for the next 8 to 10 seasons are Terrence Steele and Tyler Smith, who, you know, obviously Joe Philbin helped develop and bring along. So that is, I would say, so when I saw the list, I would say that.
Yeah,
that and then George Edwards would be one for me too, just because I think he did a lot to bridge some gaps and obviously help with Micah Parsons and that linebacker group. And so I did not think, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, some talked about if Dan Quinn gets a head coaching job, that George Edwards could be DC. He obviously hasn't experienced being DC for a long time with the Vikings. So that one surprised me. And I think even though he didn't say surprised, just judging by Micah Parsons' tweet, I bet you Micah's a little surprised.
And George Edwards was surprised. And Skip Pete was surprised, you know. And, I mean, you could say Skip Pete. I mean, Tony Pollard's in the Pro Bowl, you know. And the way he maximized and you got Zeke to take a step back, you know, there were all surprises. And
surprise.
My boots are back in Texas.
You can't say surprise and me not think that.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, I mean, George Edwards, you know, what he's done with Micah Parsons and that linebacker group, and you brought up the fact that he could potentially, we thought, that's the problem, we don't know nothing.
Right.
We thought he was a potential candidate to replace, you know, Dan Quinn. He's out of here. Just, you know, from what I understand, he was shocked and surprised that he was let go.
I mean, let's not forget, too, when you're talking about surprises and also what this kind of means and who's making the ultimate decisions here. When the head coach loses his right hand man in assistant coach Rob Davis,
that's right.
That makes you kind of wonder too. Of, you know, you brought him here. What did he do? And he didn't probably do anything. You know, it makes me kind of wonder. Jerry did say he counted by number. There's 29 coaches here, and it didn't look like he was okay with that number. So it makes you wonder. Are they just trimming this down, trimming this number down?
Well, I mean, you got the, you know, assistant, you know, Leon Lett and some other stuff, but
okay,
George Edwards. Hold on. What?
The Dallas Cowboys.
If we're just
going to keep it real, the Dallas Cowboys should have the highest paid head coach, highest paid offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and the biggest coaching staff, the biggest scouting staff, the best of everything. With the money that the Dallas Cowboys
made. Not the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, I'm just saying. And none of the things I just said are true. They aren't in any of those areas. But and then to Nick's point, that is a good point that you bring that up.
Well,
he did mention that. So I guarantee
but
it was
maybe he looks at it like there's 9 people trying to make Thanksgiving dinner. You know? Maybe there needs to be 2. Maybe there needs to be 1. You know? I mean, maybe the whole cooks in the kitchen. That could be part of what he's saying. Do we need 29 people?
I just believe that, again, not being from here, but now having lived here for about, you know, 12 years, I feel like on the outside, people think that the Dallas Cowboys have
perception.
The perception is every single thing, everything you look at, from like team playing to the food they eat, everything like that, stadium, everything like coaching staff, everything non-salary cap wise, they are, and even with the salary cap, that they're at the very top of every single thing.
Well,
I've seen this before when I covered the
Lakers. Best team website.
When I covered the Lakers, it was like, hey, you know, they do this first class, they do that, but they didn't want to pay the coaches. It's just what it wasn't what they do. By the way, Leon Lett.
Hold on, let's go back to that real quick. The Lakers don't?
Really? I knew he was shaking his head for those driving in the car.
No. And this was back when.
I'm just thinking Phil and.
And so what happened.
Phil had a big chair.
So this was pre. I got there pre-Phil. When I got there, Dale Harris was the coach.
Okay, yeah.
And then they fired him and brought in Kurt Rambis. And that whole summer, the whole thing was about, you know what, man, you're cheap. You won't spend. And that ended up motivating Buss to go out and get Phil Jackson.
That is, I guess you're right. That is a good perception thing because I would never think that about the Lakers. I would think that the Lakers do spend as much as whether you're talking about for a GM or whatever.
Look, he let Shaquille O'Neal go because he wanted to pay him and Kobe. He's like, I ain't paying too much. It's just, you know, so a lot of times there is a perception. Parcells, great. One of the great lines he had was, "Here's a perception is reality." And so that's what people thought. But everybody's got their thing.
But I don't know if we know 100% that this is down to Jerry not wanting to pay 29 coaches as opposed to maybe there doesn't need to be 29 coaches. You know, maybe you're looking at when we won 3 Super Bowls and all this kind of stuff, like what it was then. And I know that times are different, analytics and all that stuff, but I still think.
Well, the Rob Davis one's interesting to me because the only other coach I covered here was Garrett, and he didn't have like an assistant head coach like that. So was there any other coaches before Garrett that had like a person in that role?
No. And so, again, I wanted to say that these were Mike McCarthy's decisions, but when you do Rod Davis, that tells you that it may have come from the top, which is, you know, disappointing because if you're telling the man who can have on the staff, why are you keeping him?
Okay.
Why are you keeping him? You get rid of 6 coaches, you know. We're blowing this thing up
because you like him, but you want to make it look like changes.
We're getting
are
rid
happening.
Of 6 coaches. You're most likely going to lose Dan Quinn, so there's going to be more staff of people.
Right.
You know, and no telling who he's going to take with him, you know, if he gets a head coaching job.
Right.
Now, he can only take one.
Okay, one. Right. I mean, no telling who he can take with him.
I know, but he can
only
take
one. So he can still take another.
Guy.
So it's Dan another, whatever. I'm just saying, though, that what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, what's the path forward? How are you going to take the next step? Because last year we came into the season saying the reason you're going to be better in 2022 is because the continuity, chemistry, the experience we got from 2021, we're all back. We're all a year older. We got the staff together. Now everybody's on the same page, same offense, ready to take the next step. They failed to take the next step. They had the same record. Ultimately, they failed to take the next step.
Well, they went around farther in the playoffs.
Well, this next step to me is getting to the NFC Championship game and close to the Super Bowl. They didn't do that. And now
I'm saying that with a smile.
Now you're blowing the staff up. And with the onus next year that you must take the next step because 6 coaches gone this year, next year is going to be McCarthy.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. And now you have to do it with the whole new staff implementing new systems potentially, because we still don't know what's going on with Kellen Moore. You know, and there's still some other coaches' contracts up that haven't been decided yet. You know,
let me say this though: that it does. The Rob Davis looks like it's coming from somewhere else, but like Leon Lett, I mean,
he kept Leon Lett because that's a favor to Jerry.
But they didn't keep Leon Lett.
I'm talking about from Jason's staff.
I know.
From Jason's staff.
That's why I'm saying. My point is that it's hard to just look at these and go, all right, they have one, you know, one meaning behind all of them. Because it's like, well, that looks like Jerry's saying, let's trim some coaches. This one looks
He might have said, you get Rob Davis, I'm getting your boy Leon Lett.
And it might. Yeah. the way it works.
You know.
That's fine.
Can we mention Kyle Valera by name since he's
And Kyle is a guy who is another guy who came from the Jason Garrett staff as well. So, and then you talked about Philbin, but I go back to Pete. You know, again, Pete's departure does not bode well for the future of Ezekiel Elliott because they're tight.
Yeah.
And they have a connection with the agent. And that whole group is upset.
I don't like that move. I really don't. I look at it that Tony Pollard had the best year of his career, and I think Zeke had a better year this year than he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Missed just a couple of games. Was close to 1,000, 12 touchdowns. I mean, the vision that Skip kept saying at training camp was it worked.
Right.
And then Malik Davis looks like a pretty good young back, and all of us fumbled as many times as they did this year.
Right.
I mean, that was a good year for the running back. And so,
The entire time I've covered the team, I've never had a problem with the running backs coach. I mean, it's been basically the whole time it's either been Skip Pete or Gary
Skipper
Brown.
I
think they both did excellent.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'm just saying that if you want to project, you know, you're getting rid of Skip Pete, it does not look good for Zeke's future here.
Yeah.
And I know it's all the story that, you know, Zeke wants to come back. He's willing to take a pay cut. Of course he's willing to take a pay cut. The question that do the Cowboys want him even at a reduced salary?
My thing, though, that you mentioned that really that stood out to me is the thing about the change in coordinators and you got to change the schemes and everything like that. One, I don't think you change a lot of the schemes. You're going to bring in someone that, hey, how are you going to best utilize if there is a change in defensive coordinator, if Dan Quinn does get a job? Also, there will not be anywhere close to the change that there was from going from 20, if you hire the right defensive coordinator, from 2020 to 2021. I mean, going from what they did with Mike Nolan to what they did with Dan Quinn in 1 year, the way they turned it around. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the players you have. And so a lot of those players there, the key players are going to be back. So, I mean, yes, it will be a transition. It's not going to be smooth. It's going to, you know, there's going to be bumps along the road. But I'm just saying this isn't like college where you're just like they're changing up the whole scheme.
No,
now we've got to recruit
players. But everybody don't communicate what Dan Quinn does.
Absolutely.
And every coach is not, you know.
But let me just say, when you have Micah Parsons in this defense, if Dan Quinn does leave, this is a very attractive defensive coordinator job.
No, I agree.
There's a lot of head coaches out there that have been released in the last two years that would gladly be the defensive coordinator of this team. They're very good coaches.
I know a guy in Denver who said that he had the book out on Dak Prescott last year.
There you
year. Go. It's certainly an option. But Joe Witt, too. I mean, Joe Witt's still here. Joe Witt is an option.
I just wonder about that, though, because of the fact of if you look at Mike McCarthy's track record, his defensive coordinator is generally someone who has head coaching experience.
So, do we expect any more changes? We're getting ready to talk to Mike McCarthy at the top of the hour. You can watch it on DallasCowboys.com. Or do you think this is it?
Well, I mean, I think the quarterback coach is up. I mean, I don't know that, you know, I can't even think of Scott McCurley. I think his contract is up. You know,
the linebacker coach, Scott McCurley.
Yeah. Okay. What do we do there? You know, and you get rid of George Edwards, you keep McCurley? You know, McCurley failed, in his first year. And I guess I go back to you saying the decision of the defensive coordinator. Well, Mike McCarthy made a bad decision on his first to keep his defensive coordinator.
For sure.
You know, so it's not a home run.
It's not a guarantee.
That you're going to get
I'm
a guy.
I'm sure everybody in this building, if they could sign off on it, would be like, we got to do whatever we can to keep Dan Quinn. But I'm just saying it's going to be tough to keep
No. All of that. So there could be more upheaval. Like I said, you know, and again, that's why it's, you know,
How do you
feel good after the way the season ended with all the coaching changes? What makes you feel good going into the offseason right now?
Well, let me ask you this. Before the answer to that, let me say this. Mike Nolan and Dan Quinn, I mean, obviously huge difference, right? Would you rather have Mike Nolan and Micah Parsons or Dan Quinn and Leighton Vander Esch like he had?
I still think Dan Quinn would do more with what Mike Nolan did than with that defense.
I'm trying to get on the gotcha.
I don't deal with hypotheticals.
Okay, but you're saying like, oh, what a huge difference it was between Nolan and I'm not. I'm like Nolan. Apologize.
That's a really good question.
I'm just saying, but Micah Parsons. Was,
I'm very pro player, so I'm really torn on this.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is this: I've been around here for a long time. Okay,
yes,
and we've had great defensive coordinators before, Rob Marinelli, who were rigid in what they were
Monty
doing.
Kiffin?
Who were rigid in what they were
Rob
doing?
Ryan,
let me finish.
Yeah, sorry.
Rigid in what they were doing and how they used players.
Yeah.
One reason why this guy named Watt wasn't here, okay, because he didn't fit the profile. So you can say that. Everybody would do what they did with Michael Parsons. I don't know that because some people will pigeonhole him and say, you're a linebacker, you're going to play a linebacker.
True.
Okay.
Fair.
So
he may not have seen the vision.
So everybody don't see the vision. I've been around there with coaches who are great, considered great defense coordinators who pigeon, who say, this is how we do things, how we've always done things, and we're not doing it any other way.
That's fair. I don't know if Dan Quinn was the one that got him to say, let's rush the passer.
Let's take a break.
We knew it was going to be strong.
When we come back, breaking news that is affecting one of the Dallas Cowboys coaches. Let's dive into that next with John Bishota, The Athletic, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram has breaking news. So go handle that right here during the break. I'm Newey Scruggs. This is the Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf, for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash.
Kubiak.
Here we are. Second segment. Fireworks in the first one. Good debate here with John Machado of The Athletic. We got Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, and the oldest, longest tenured beat writer on the Cowboys. He is Clarence Hill.
Saw his first road playoff win last week.
I did.
Oh,
yes.
That's right.
I did.
That's right.
Which technically wasn't a step because you said that they didn't take a step from last year.
That was a step for you. Update that bio on your Twitter page.
I did.
Okay.
I did update. I added the playoff win.
Look like you took a step.
Let me ask you a question. This is not on the sheet.
Yeah.
Why is it when you take that selfie on the airplane after on the road trip? Why do you always look so mad?
I'm not mad. No, it's first of all, it was early in the morning. It was early in the morning. It was early in the morning, and so I'm not happy.
Even
it's
when
6 a.m.
you leave, though, even when you're going to the place, you've got that like the little bubbles that says like really, he's got that.
Okay,
like,
okay, sir, sir.
I know you're not gonna be cheesing like.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be cheesing. Okay. And so I'm trying to. First of all, you're trying to take a selfie. You got people walking around you, so you're trying to do it quick, and it's just a lot of things going on.
I got it.
You know, you got people, seating. You don't want to get them in the picture. You're just trying to do it quick yourself.
But you're in first class. There shouldn't be a lot of that riffraff going on.
You were for Sarti. You know, first class. Topic. First class.
Hey. What you got to do with Sarti? I don't see KXAS and MD5 in first class.
And we won't.
Okay.
That's reserved for.
I don't see Dallas Moore Noon America.
That's reserved for Rodney Harrison and other people like that. They ain't coming to me.
But I just do that for my people. I got people that enjoy that stuff. See all the comments, people enjoy it.
I learned so many things.
It's called feeding the beast.
I learned so many things based off of your Facebook and the stuff that I didn't even know even existed.
Oh,
just the stuff that you retweet and tweet and comment. What?
Go down.
There's one right there.
Oh, my God.
What is that?
Going into combat. What?
Are you about to play?
It's like he's
got
going
a camo
over.
On.
It's like getting sent over with the troops.
Why are we doing this? Why are you putting it on the camera?
Is that for the ladies?
It was early in the morning, man. I hate to. Listen, late night games. I mean, people understand. Late night, and you said it best, though. Late night games.
He got 94 comments, though. So that.
I'm just telling people.
There you go.
People
there you talk. Go. 94 comments. So.
Yeah. Make it 95.
Hey, late night games, early in the morning flights. We have to get back. We're trying to get back for this, especially after when the season's over.
Oh, I know.
It's just a thankless trip. But people understand that you get the guys to go to the road games, you get to have fun, you cover the Cowboys.
This is leaving. Leaving. A little better. Look as tired.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a shirt. It's gold.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's got like a red lightning bolt. I didn't know what that
was. Yeah, that's one of our things, too. Oh, okay. But anyway, it's thankless to a certain extent. I mean, yeah, we get paid to write football, go to games, but
oh yeah, you're, we're not digging
you're up all night. I'm up all night writing 3 or 4 stories.
I've done that.
Sleep 2 hours. Got to get on this flight, come back, trying to get back to the locker room. It's just I've done this for 27 years.
My favorite is when people are asking me like after the game, like, "Oh, did you get so and so? Did you get so and so?" No, I walked with Jerry Jones halfway around the stadium and then talked with him with 3 other reporters outside of his car. Like, it's not like anywhere close to just, you know, like just covering the scenes just different than.
Right.
So, are you a window guy?
It's definitely a window.
You're a window guy or you're an aisle guy?
I'm mainly an aisle guy, but sometimes early morning, if I get the window so I can go to sleep.
Okay.
Oh, sleeping. Using the exit sign as a pillow?
Because some people, I hate
Sir,
when people.
Are you willing to comply? Yes. Yes. Say yes.
No, wake me up. I'll comply.
No, it's the people that need to go to the bathroom that wake you up to walk across you.
Yeah. And you want them to wake you up because you don't want them to just like hop over you.
Well, they ain't no room to hop over anymore. I mean, they got to wake you up.
There's a little bit of room, probably.
So when I'm trying to sleep,
not on these.
When I'm trying to sleep, I'm trying to get a window so I don't bother them.
You make it back in time for a locker room cleanup?
No, I didn't make it back in time because why would they do the locker room at 11?
I don't know. I don't think anybody was in there.
One person was in there.
All right. Good for them.
But yeah. So anyway, I don't know how we got down my Twitter timeline,
my
Facebook timeline.
I started it.
But let's keep it real. I mean, 27 years. That's and I like how we say and it's cool to say, well, what happened in 96 not on this team.
Right.
It's the Cowboys.
I say that.
You're added to the ledger though. You've added to the 26 years. So no, that's not on this team, but this is the team. This is the job. This is the monkey on the organization's back. It might not be on your back, but it's on the organization. It is 27 years. So yes, Dak had nothing to do with what happened in 2007, but you've added to the ledger now. So it's still all
can
of
we talk it, about that for a second?
It's all of yours. It's all of that.
Can we talk about the monkey on the back?
Let's talk about the monkey.
I did find it interesting how, I don't know if you ended up writing off this or not, but in that walk-off with Dak, when you asked him about the monkey on his back. He wasn't pissed, but it was very like, well, first of all, when you asked it, the first thing I thought, especially because they were going to San Francisco, is there's that like really famous video after the Niners win that Super Bowl with Steve Young, and he tells like an offensive line or something, like, could you finally pull, you know?
Whatever. Yeah, right.
So I thought
that's the most cringiest video.
It is. But you've seen it a million times.
But my point is, people, they don't want to talk about it, but we know it's there.
And I'm just saying how fast he responded to, like, no, that's not. That's something that you're putting on us. We're not putting that on ourselves or whatever, but. Yeah, that was interesting.
I mean, yeah, you can say that we're not putting on ourselves, but it's the organizational thing. And it's same reason why you get all the attention because of what they done back then. Sure. You're not getting the attention because of what you're doing now. You're getting attention. You're making the money you're making. You're on all these commercials because you're the quarterback of the Dallas Football Cowboys.
So Jason Garrett, ask you this.
And it's because of all the stuff that's been done in the past.
Would there be more pressure on Dak Prescott right now or less if, we'll say, the Tony Romo era – they would have reached a Super Bowl, reached an NFC Championship game. I just think that Dak would still have it regardless of that because it is year 7, and the expectations with the Cowboys are that you should be able to make a run every
still be high, but the hill is just it's just so much junk on top of it now. I mean, it's 28 years. I mean, again, your kids – My kids have grown up never knowing the Cowboys to be winners, okay?
Yeah, I think most of the players probably haven't.
I mean, so all this stuff might well be Greek mythology.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Wow.
I'm serious.
They teach it in school now.
There was a time. Socrates was at the Cowboys game.
I mean, these people today don't know nothing about the Cowboys being winners. I mean, my daughter just see, are the Cowboys going to win? They never win. I mean, they don't. They have no recollection. They have no confidence in this organization doing anything beyond what they've done.
I will say, Michael Jackson popping out of that out of the top of that stage does seem like a long time ago in Pasadena.
Because it was. It was 30 years ago.
You know, and so
John, I was 22.
Just living your best life.
And 22. So when you're going to this game, how do you feel? I don't know.
It's 30 years ago.
17. I don't. How do you believe? How do you have belief?
I don't know, man. Like, I really did think, like, I didn't pick them to win the game. But up until the Tony Pollard injury, I was like, man, they kind of got him right where they wanted.
Well, no, they had a good chance to win, but at the end of the day, they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. That's where we are. But I'm talking about going into the game, everybody. What do you think? I said, they got a chance to win, but. Yeah. I don't know. I can't. I wouldn't put any money on it.
I thought they were going. I thought you watch the game. Anything, any sport, you can see. If you watch enough football, basketball, you can see in about 5 minutes. You can tell, like, you know, you get surprised every now and again, but you can pretty much tell who's better than the other team.
Yeah.
And this one was really close, but when they were driving there before the half, it looked like the Cowboys were better.
Oh yeah.
And then when Pollard got hurt, I remember just thinking, they're not going to win this game. And then the pick happened right afterwards, and it was like, they definitely wouldn't.
Everything has to go right.
And I'm telling you, like, the first series, if you put their first defensive series in this game up against their first defensive series at AT&T Stadium last year, it was like two different teams. No, like, they came out, I was like, damn.
Carlos Watkins is making plays.
Let's address that, because there's this notion that the defense played well enough to win. And when you take a step back and say, yes, they did. They only gave up 19 points. But as coach used to say, you play the game you're asked to play that day, okay?
Yeah.
And, yes, they gave up one touchdown. They shouldn't have gave up that one touchdown, you know?
Sure.
They should not have gave up. So to act like the defense, quote-unquote, overall play, winning football, catch the pick.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, when Dak throws the ball, pops up, they get it. Catch the pick. You've been a turnover team all year. Catch the pick. When you have a chance to blow somebody up and not on the same drive, the tight end, make the play.
You're just going after Trayvon.
No, I'm just saying, but you.
No,
you,
I know.
You,
right.
Oh, and I'm not going after Trayvon. I'm just saying that there are plays the defense could have made that could have changed the game.
I got another one.
You're making it, though. When I hear you say it, though, I have an argument with that, and that's that for all of that to happen, you're asking the defense to almost play perfect, where I thought they played really good to great in that game, where all I thought the quarterback needed to do was just be solid to good.
No, I hear you. We are readily understanding and accepting that the offense did not play well. The quarterback turned the ball over. That ultimately cost them the game.
Yeah.
The idea that the defense played well enough to win, they played winning football, that's not true either. They could have. I'm just saying that if you, to be a champion, make the plays. And that's on offense and defense. I'm sorry. There were chances. This defense had a chance to make plays like Fred Warner. Make the play.
Yeah.
Champions make plays. That goes on both sides of the ball.
When it's 16-12 and they've got the ball at the 11-minute mark, it's similar to that Eagle game where it's like, all right,
the field.
You're in this game still, and the defense has kept you in it. And then for them to go on 11, you know, eight-minute drive.
The defense has to get off the field.
But I'm actually in between y'all.
Now we're both.
There's
no question the quarterback can't turn the ball over. There's no question they didn't have enough playmakers, especially when Tony Pollard got out. The offense should have. They need more from the offense. But the notion the defense played championship football is wrong.
I'm gonna agree with that.
That's wrong.
But I'll take my chances on them playing like that again.
You play the game. You're asked to play that day. That day, the defense was asked to not give up nothing.
Let's get another break in here. When we come back, I will talk about that breaking news in the National Football League that affected the Cowboys coach. We will do that with Clarence Hill,
Nick Eatman. We're down a rabbit hole down by my Facebook.
John Machota. I'm Newey Scruggs, the Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgAndTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to Media Mash.
Newie Scruggs on the Media Mash along with Clarence Hill, Nick Eatman, and John Mashoda. The Carolina Panthers have hired Frank Reich to be their next head football coach. Kellen Moore had interviewed for the job, so he will not become the head coach of the Panthers. I don't think he'll become a head coach of any team this offseason go around here. So, with the changes, do we anticipate Kellen Moore being back? We will talk to the head coach, Mike McCarthy, at the top of the hour. Clarence.
Kellen Moore has 1 year left on his deal, you know, and there's a thought process that to take the next step, you need to make things, change things for Dak Prescott, make him more uncomfortable, do something that's going to get him. I don't know. I mean, numbers-wise, the offense looks good. In the playoffs, it has not. And those curl routes, stick routes, whatever you do. I mean, this whole Jason Garrett offense stuff, I think it's kind of stale. Mm-hmm. You know, you might need to move on to take the next step.
That's a tough one because, I mean, there are times when, you know, there's been some plays, not every series or maybe one or two a game, but I thought even in the first playoff game, I thought there were a lot of plays where I thought, you know, it was really good. I mean, what people asked of Kellen Moore after the 49ers loss last year was, you got to get CD involved, you got to figure out how to get Pollard involved and scheme them open. And I thought he did a nice job of that this year. But I'm still to the point where, if you're going, you have to stick with Dak from a number standpoint, salary, and I do think that maybe it's time for a different voice. And just because Jerry maybe he wanted to make a move, but I mean, you're not going to make a move if the guy's interviewing for a job, you know. So,
but my thing is, I was just talking about else about it. If you move on from Kellen, who you moving to?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
You got choices in the building.
Yeah, but that's
you? Offense coordinator choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Schottenheimer.
Brian Schottenheimer?
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about the head coach taking it over.
You've got him. I mean, you've got choices.
How do you feel about Cliff Kingsbury?
Can somebody get a hold of him in Thailand?
I thought he's in Thailand. Yeah, coming back.
But, you don't think they know about the Dallas Cowboys in Thailand?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying. I think that no, if Kellen Moore doesn't get
it. I would not bring in Cliff Kingsbury, no.
If he doesn't get a head coaching job, I think Kellen Moore will end up being back. But I also agree that
well, he's not getting a head coaching job.
Well, okay. But I'm just saying that I'm not down on him the way I feel like there's a lot of people that – have, like, they're dug in on it's either Dak's fault or it's Kellen's fault, and you take one side or the other, and I don't think that either of them are terrible. You know, I think that, one, you're not moving on from Dak because I think it would be foolish. Even if he wasn't under the contract, I'm not moving on from Dak Prescott because there's a far greater chance you get back to Quincy Carter, Vinny Testaverde years than you're going to be to find the next Dak Prescott or the next Tony Romo or whoever's in that. So you have to find something that's going to make him better than he was this year, and maybe that means you have to go with a different play caller to just change things up, just to change things up. I mean,
I think that's part of it. It's not like Kellen Moore's done a bad job. I think
but you
he's
know
done
what
a good
I'm talking
job.
About. You go on Twitter, but man. You, people think oh, yeah. he's like the worst guy that's ever called a play, and you're just like, you really think it's just him? You really
no,
think
it's
that
not
it's
just
him,
and it's just not, and it's not just Dak, but a different voice. Maybe it's time for a different voice because too much is on the line now. I mean, you know, Mike
Would
McCarthy.
Would you rather have Kellen Moore back or Mike McCarthy called the plays?
McCarthy called the plays. Bill Parcells is out here. He did that 33rd team, and he went down the Cowboys, and he thinks that he says right here on says Super Bowl winning coach said he likes what he sees from the team on defense, but on offense, particularly Kellen Moore's play calling is hurting the team.
Okay.
And he also said about Dak Prescott quote, they don't have a top top quality quarterback in Dak Prescott, but I do think he's good enough to win with.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's good. I mean,
yeah.
See, this guy won with Ray Lucas and Quincy Carter to the playoffs.
What drives me crazy is the notion.
He's going to think that way. I love Bill, but I'm just saying.
But he don't have to think that way.
He's a bus driver. But he likes bus drivers.
Okay, but what I'm saying is this: you don't even have to look at Quincy Carter. Really, you look at Brock Purdy. I mean, you don't have to do that. What I'm saying is that the idea that Dak shows he can't take you to the Super Bowl, that's not true, because Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts is going to take somebody to the Super Bowl this year.
But they make a million a year.
Yeah. Huh?
But they make a million a year.
No, we're not talking about money-wise. I'm talking about the player.
That's how you acquire Christian McCaffrey on your team, or you go get A.J. Brown, because you can go do that stuff. And the minute Dak
I don't think that the Cowboys' lack of weapons this year, letting Amari Cooper go, choosing to sign Gallup, choosing whatever, they made this. They could have kept Amari Cooper. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they could have.
It had nothing to do with Dak's money, okay? They could have kept Amari Cooper. They could have added more weapons. They could have spent more money. It had nothing to do with Dak.
Every time he brings this up, though, I just have a thought of just like, wow, would we really be sitting here just so shocked if Amari Cooper was on the field and they still lost that Niners
game?
DeAndre Hopkins is what I'm getting.
I agree. I'm just using him as an example.
Right.
What I'm saying is
the worst decision they made.
When I talk about those guys, though, I talk about the weapons around them. Okay, week in and week out, the Cowboys stepped on the field with the worst receiving core on the field. Okay, and Brock Purdy, yes, he's on a contract. I'm just talking about Debo. I'm talking about his weapons that they have.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so the notion, and you can talk about money, I'm talking about the notion that you can't win with Dak Prescott, the player. If you give him weapons, they can take the next step. Dak Prescott is not a player that can uplift, which Stephen Jones told us last year. Well, he's a franchise quarterback, paying him $40 million. He can uplift lesser areas on the team. That's wrong.
I'll tell you what's disappointing.
And he's making $40 million a year, so therefore you've got to find the cheap weapon. No, we're saying the same thing. It's just harder to go get those weapons because you've got a really, really, really expensive bus driver.
Right.
So now you've got to find a Tony Pollard in the fourth round, and he's got to produce early. You've got to get cheap weapons to do that on their first contract.
Okay, I guess all of that's true. I'm just saying that Dak Prescott, the player, is not a non-starter when it comes to taking the team to the Super Bowl.
If you tell me he cleans up the interceptions, because
as we said, if you don't have the picks, they win this week.
Yeah.
You know, so it, even with the money, but overall, and I hear what you're saying, and we've had this conversation, you know, they didn't win with Mark Cooper. There's no guarantee they win with Mark Cooper next year. The difference between last year and this year, the entire team was better last year. The defense was better last year. The offense wasn't. And I'm just saying, I do not like going into a season taking a step back talent-wise on offense.
Yep. You thought last year's team was better than this year's
team? No, I said this year's team was better. Me and John have had this conversation.
I thought you said last year's
team. No.
He didn't say that, did he?
I didn't mean it.
This year's team is better.
This year's team was overall better. Overall, defensively, everywhere else, it was better team.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yes, they had the same record. They did the same thing they did with Amari Cooper, but they were a lesser team on offense.
Played in
this year
a much tougher division.
Yes,
and I mean, look at the final four teams that are still standing right now. I mean, they played. They're 2-2 against those teams. You know, they played a much tougher schedule this year, and they held their own. They had better quality wins.
Yeah, they had a better team.
I agree.
But at the end of the day, the goal is to not, you know, be even. It's not to be the same. It's to take the next step, and I don't know how you can take the next step with lesser players.
John?
I mean, I pretty much made my case on this. Like, I thought they made a mistake by letting go of Amari Cooper, but to me, the way I look at Amari Cooper is, in a way, and I don't think he's as good as Scottie Pippen, but Scottie Pippen has gotten better in the last decade by everybody that likes to hate on that's pro LeBron and likes to hate on Jordan. All of a sudden, just like, oh, he didn't do anything before Scottie, and all of a sudden, it just like you put him this level. Like, I watched all of those. Like, yeah, he was a really good player, but it wasn't like it was like he was the reason that they won. Michael Jordan is the reason. And then like now that every week that goes by that they didn't have Amari Cooper, it's just like he keeps getting better and better. Like, we haven't seen games that really mattered for the Cowboys or the last 3 or 4 years that Amari Cooper was on the field, and he didn't really do much in those games. So that's the only reason why I'm saying that. I get where you're coming from. They would have been better with Amari Cooper, but there's also that if he's out on that field on Sunday, I also don't sit there and go, oh, they would have won that game for
no,
sure.
No, I'm not saying
where,
that.
Where I'm telling you, if Tony Pollard doesn't get hurt, I feel very good that they win that game.
Let's switch gears here because we got 5 minutes left in the show. McCarthy comes up the top 3 o'clock. What do you want to know from head coach Mike McCarthy?
Who called that very last play? No, I'm just kidding.
Kellen Moore.
Who designed?
No, I don't think he did.
Kellen Moore.
No, I don't. When watching the TV copy over again, I don't. That's a John Fossil play.
No, what this is what I heard. They did not expect the 49ers to play that defense. That play.
Well, they called a timeout.
This the 49ers called a timeout. That play was designed for them to play coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a coach told me the 49ers played more aggressive on that final play than they did on the third down play. They did not expect them to blow up Zeke and blow up like in blitz.
Yeah.
Because they thought they were going to play coverage. Like most teams, you know, you're going to play coverage. So that's why that play looked like it did, because the way the 49ers played, they did not expect the 49ers to play that defense and be that aggressive on that play.
So basically, my biggest question will be, how do you get Dak better? How does Dak get better? How do you get Dak to take another step? Because this is a quarterback league, and for them to go far, he's going to have to play better. How do you make Dak Prescott better?
I don't know that, and I like that question. Dak needs to be better.
Yeah.
Okay? Or be what he was.
Right, but I'm just saying that question's very open because it's not just about Dak. It could be also he could say, we need to get him more help.
I guess what I'm saying is his track record the first 6 years is Dak is not a turnover quarterback.
Right.
Can Dak be better and be that quarterback and not necessarily elevate to take the next step?
Yeah.
Just be who you were last year.
Yeah.
You know, can we get Dak to not try to do too much, not try to be aggressive, take the check downs? I understand that, you know, there were six or seven check downs in that game that he did not take. You don't necessarily have to – Dak doesn't necessarily have to morph into some great quarterback.
But he needs just to be better than he was this year,
right,
is what I'm saying.
Be
so
better.
Even if that means doing things he did before this, that's fine. But he needs to be better than he was this year.
And history's, you know, don't say, Dak, you're $40 million. I need you to make the difference for this team. Dak, be who you are. Be the smart. We paid you money. We didn't pay you $40 million because you're Aaron Rodgers or because you're Patrick Mahomes. We paid you money because you're a leader, you're a good decision maker, you're a smart guy. Be that guy. Nick?
You know, I don't know. I'd almost rather look back than look forward, because I don't know if he's going to give you a whole lot looking forward. But if you were to do that, I would say, what is your running back situation look like? Like obviously you're going to say that you love Zeke and what everything he does for you as a running back and a center, but also
fullback.
Fullback, you know. But what does the running back situation look like? You know, I mean, you have Pollard coming back, but then he's got to get re-signed. It's just so much up in the air. Again, I don't think he's going to give answers. I'm just like, that's a question there. And can you figure out a way to get Bijan Robinson to fall 26 spots? Can he? Will he?
Is Tyler Smith your left tackle?
Yeah.
The question is Tyler Smith your right tackle? When is Terrence Steele going to be ready?
Yeah, that's true.
Why are you looking at me like I'm doing the cords or something?
Because I can't remember. He has a torn Achilles
torn ACL.
Yeah. I don't know that he'll be ready for the start of the season. You need a right tackle.
I think he would be ready for the start of the season. I mean, again, every player is different. I get it. But if you're wide receiver that has surgery in February is able to play in week 4 of the season, I would think Terrence Steele, who got hurt in the Colts game or the
Houston
game?
It was December.
Houston
it was
game,
December, yeah.
Early right. December.
It's going to be close.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be a bit close. Big lineman, you know,
like
that.
Saying, first of all, Peter's not coming back. You're not really – I don't know if you're comfortable at your backup tackles right now. You need some insurance.
Who's coaching them?
How about Linda Wells?
Who's calling plays?
Maybe Jeff Glasgow.
There we go. We need to find that top down. Who's calling the plays? Who's your coordinator? Lots to get into. Head coach Mike McCarthy coming your way at 3 p.m. Central Time
right here
on DallasCowboys.com. This is the Media Mash for Clarence Hill. Get the energy drink in, baby. I know you're ready for McCarthy. Go round and round with head coach Mike McCarthy. Got the energy drink. I don't know if that's the official energy drink of the Dallas Cowboys.
Do they have official energy drink?
Yeah, got official Earth thing. It's Nick Eamon.
Sub-official Super Bowl in 27 years.
Got 5 of them over there.
John Michaud, I'm Louis Smith. Goodbye.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!